everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the program today. It is the Tuesday edition, March 10th, 2015, here in Tucson, Arizona. The Buckmaster Show comes to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts and all of our archive of all the programs we've done. It's available for you anywhere in the world, really, anytime, 24/7, BuckmasterShow.com. We're going to begin with our monthly visit with Terry Bracey, our contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. 20 minutes past the hour, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley gives a big thumbs down to the market today, pushing around 300 points down, but Shelley's such a nice guy that he smiles through the pain. We'll talk to Shelley in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes past the hour. Carolyn Campbell joins us. Carolyn is head of the Sonoran Desert Coalition. She'll be joining us to talk about possible bond election. Then we'll close out the show with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report. Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly arts writer, joins us for that report. And the live line number available for you, 790-2040. You can call us anytime during the hour. Our Facebook page, under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we are welcoming new friends to the fold. Let's go now to our Washington and governmental affairs contributor, Terry Bracey, who has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Mo Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm in D.C. of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents, among other clients, City of Tucson is one of their clients, and the Central Arizona Project. Terry is on the live line. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just great. Good to be on your show again today.
Well, it's a great time of year for sports fans like yourself. You got the Wildcats tournament time. I know you follow the Cats very closely, but you also love baseball, so you got spring training as well.
Got the Nats getting ready for what has been projected to be a World Series season, but of course, things never quite work out the way they do on paper. We already have two of our top stars are all of a sudden out for maybe a month of the season with injuries. So that's why you have guys like Matt Williams who make their money coaching and managing, and Sean over at the U of A, what a coach he is, and what a season Sean Miller has put together for us yet again. Can anybody beat Kentucky, Bill? I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's going to be, it just depends. I mean, you know, anything can happen in the tournament, but I think the Cats are sitting pretty well. You know, speaking of baseball, the Cubs, I grew up on Cub baseball, and I see they're only 14-1 to, that's not too bad odds to actually go to the World Series. So that would be the first.
They've put together a terrific team.
They have. A lot of young.
They've built up a lot of young talent.
Yeah.
Took the time to do it, and then they picked up a couple of the top pitchers in the league. They could really be a contender this year.
They certainly could.
Look forward to summer, huh?
Yeah. Well, we've got we could do sports talk, but I want to get into the news. And I want to get into the news. And the news over the weekend, folks learned that this fleet over at Davis-Monthan is some of the, I think it's 9 A-10s are kind of being put on backup status. Terry, that is not good news for the city.
Well, Bill, let's talk about DM and try to put this all in perspective. First of all, with respect to the A-10, the Warthog it's called, whose mission is ground support, and it's been the greatest aircraft ever invented to support advancing ground troops against the enemy. And therefore, the Army loves it, and all infantries love it. And Senator McCain and Congresswoman McSally, who herself was a pilot, an A-10 pilot, all contend with some real substance behind it that we don't have a substitute for the A-10. And so a battle is going to continue in the Congress to keep the A-10 going until Senator McCain, who's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, Congressman McSally, and others who are highly informed are satisfied that we've got an aircraft that can perform that mission. The Air Force is saying, well, maybe the they are saying, in fact, that the F-16 and the F-15 can be tailored to do this. There was a big conference in Washington last week, and much of it was under security restrictions. But from what I heard, there was a lot of disagreement in that conference about the A-10. So I think the A-10, we can probably see that the A-10 is going to be around for a while, even another 4 or 5 years. But, Bill, you know, at the end of the day, the Air Force gets its way, doesn't it?
Yeah, indeed they do. Terry, we're going to go to the live line. Jim is with us, our friend Jim Kelly, who is a very good supporter of our work here. Jim would like to ask you a question, Terry Bracey. Go ahead, Jim. Hey, Jim.
We are Jim? Able to keep the A-10 program or not. What are we doing to aggressively seek other missions that economically support Davis-Monthan and the community?
Okay. Terry?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think you'll be happy to know that the Marin Council, first of all, there are various groups out there who are trying to look to the future and figure out where DM can fit in the definition of a different Air Force. But one thing that the mayor and council have done quietly that's in process is that they retained one of the top think tanks in Washington early this year, or actually last year, to conduct an extensive study of DM and its missions for the future, where it fits in a changing Air Force, and how we as a community can go about supporting that strategy. So all of that is Jim, it's moving forth, and I have to take my hat off to the Marin Council for having the foresight to get ahead of that issue and go after it.
Terry, DM, of course, has so much going for it, and you wonder when the does it look like there will be another BRAC, what's called BRAC, the kind of the base
Closure commission. Yeah, Bill,
there you go. Yeah.
We're going to have another base closure commission because the Air Force is constantly in the process of becoming smaller. Remember, Bill, that the Air Force was at its largest number during the Korean War. Today, the Air Force has 40% fewer airplanes than we did during the first Gulf War. The Air Force constantly is looking to improve the training of its personnel and to increase the technology of its airplanes and its firepower and to get more and more out of less and less. So that's the history of the Air Force. Today we've got an active Air Force of 330,000. My guess is that in another 20 years that Air Force will be 200,000 or maybe 150,000, and we won't have, 5,000 aircraft or almost 6,000 that we have today, but we might have 2,400, 2,500. But those aircraft will be capable. They're flying computers is what they are. They're flying computers, and they're able to do magical things. And so that's the way it goes. So the question, Bill, becomes when they start closing bases, and they will close bases because you'll have fewer aircraft, which bases will stay? Which bases support a larger aim that can support various missions, various federal agencies, which have, shall I say, perfect flying weather, perfect training, perfect training situation, maybe even have a Goldwater range where they can fire live ammunition. You know, there are very few places in the country, or in fact in the world, in the Air Force's world, that can compare to Davis-Monthan. It is a tremendously effective Air Force base.
So under the new basing system, we may actually have in the backyard here in Tucson one of the 5 to 10 super bases of this country.
Well, I know that that is the aim of the Marin Council, and that's the aim of the DM-50. I've been working closely with their leaders and, you know, the Southern Arizona Military Group. Everybody is on the same page. And, yes, we very much want the A-10 to continue its role, its historic role, but we're also looking and peering into the future and seeing just where does Tucson and DM fit into that place. And I think we're well on our way to understanding that. This study, by the way, is not completed, but I expect that the mayor will be releasing it sometime in the not-too-distant future.
So this could be very positive for Tucson, I think, is our conclusion here, Terry Bracey.
Well, I think it will be. Maybe I'm just a foolish optimist. But, you know, I mean, there was a time when DM flew the B-29.
Hmm.
You know, come on. There's a time when we have had F-86s, you know?
Yeah.
The world changes, and our role as a community is to change with it. But, Bill, you know, the community, if we're going to keep DM and let it mature, the community really has to be supportive. It's $1 billion into our community every year.
Yes, indeed.
$1 billion.
Big money. Anyway, Terry, we're going to have to run 12:16 on the show. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you, Terry Bracey.
Talk to you next month. Okay,
all right.
Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Terry Bracey, Washington, D.C., and governmental affairs contributor, one of 24 or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show. One of those contributors waiting in the wings with me in studio, he is Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. We'll be back with Shelley right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your day going?
Day is going great, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Let's talk about interest rates today. And interest rates can be good, I guess, for investors because they're going to conceivably make more money on the money they are holding. But markets react shyly.
The market has been expecting a raise in interest rates from the Fed now for several years. And every time we get really good economic news, the markets get very, very skittish because they think that the Fed is going to act more quickly and more precipitously than, you know, what's already priced into the market. Keep in mind that the Fed has kept interest rates, you know, short-term interest rates essentially at zero now for over 6 years. Now, that helps companies. And the reason it helps companies is that they can then borrow money for very, very low costs and theoretically reinvest that money back into their businesses. In addition, because interest rates in general are low, investors tend to look to equities for getting returns because they can't put the money in the bank. They don't have the kinds of alternatives that they would normally have. And so very, very low interest rates tends to prop up the stock market. And that's exactly what's happened. We've seen a very active, very volatile, but very active stock market over the past 6 or 7 years. It's tripled from its lows. Now, the fear that the Fed is going to act. And let me, you know, I do forecasts for you, but I rarely do predictions. Mm-hmm. And let me do one.
Okay.
I don't believe that the Fed is going to rush into raising interest rates anytime soon or in any major way that's not already priced in. Let me tell you why. The Europeans have now begun to do some of the same kinds of stimulus that we've seen here in the United States for the past 6 years. If the Fed were to raise interest rates, European investors would then put more of their money into the United States where they could get a higher return, highest, very safe return. And mm-hmm. in fact, the, you know, U.S. treasuries are essentially risk-free. And so that would pull money out of the European markets. Now, why would we care? The Fed's job is to take care of our economy, not the European economy. But the economies are now so intertwined and so interdependent that if we were to do something that in some way jeopardizes the economic, continued economic recovery of our biggest trading partner, that would not be a good idea. And Janet Yellen knows that.
How, what about the investor? Should we care, should we be keeping a very close watch on interest rates?
If your eyes are not fixed firmly on interest rates, then they're off the mark.
Okay.
When interest rates begin to go up, you will see effects across the entire marketplace. You will see, of course, the bond market. The value of your bonds will decrease because they'll be worth less in the secondary market as interest rates go up. In other words, if you've got a 1 or 2% bond and interest rates go up to 3%, then your bond is, its value is going to go down. You're going to have to sell it at a discount. Interest rates also have a flip side on the value of the dollar. And this is the piece that Janet Yellen is kind of the flip side of the sword I was just talking about. Because interest rates have stayed very low, what we've seen is the dollar is getting stronger and stronger. Okay? A strong dollar, you say, well, that's great, right? No. A strong dollar is not good for exports. And we need to make sure that our exports are healthy in this world economy. So keeping the dollar at a, you know, at a rate vis-a-vis the euro and the yen that doesn't hurt our manufacturing sector is a delicate balancing act. So yeah, interest rates are very, very important. We've seen very strong job growth numbers now. We've seen not so strong growth in the gross national product, and that's probably Yellen's excuse for not doing anything for a while. But you know, demand is a problem when, you know, until wages catch up with where the rest of the economy is going. We've seen some good demand. We had more resignations in the last quarter from jobs than we've seen in like 14 years. And you say, well, how is that good? It's good because people resign because they think that they can get a better job or they have a better job offer elsewhere. So all of that is churning around the economy. And what we're likely to see, I think, is the Fed continuing to hold down interest rates as long as they possibly can in order to not upset the European recovery, not upset the price of commodities, and to keep the kind of the underpinning of this recovery going.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman is with us. We're talking about interest rates and the impact on the markets and on the consumer. What do you then recommend for your clients? What should they keep an eye on besides just keeping the eye on the interest rate? They should constantly, I guess, be taking a look at the portfolio, right?
Yeah. So if you think interest rates are going up, mm-hmm. and eventually they are, of
right.
course, you need to make sure that you have the lower volatility bonds in your portfolio, either through funds or the actual bonds. In other words, you want to shorten the duration of those bonds. So if you're sitting there with 30-year treasuries, those are going to be pretty volatile as interest rates move. If you're sitting there with 10-year treasuries, those are not going to be so volatile. Same thing with the funds. If you've got muni bond funds and bond funds that represent corporate debt, you want to probably shorten the duration of those funds. You're going to take a little bit of a hit in terms of the yield, but you're going to really be worried about volatility, you know, on the bond market, and so you want to shorten the duration. You also, you know, want to make sure that you're somewhat protected against the volatility in equities, and the way to do that is to increase the amount of dividends you get in your portfolio. So rather than looking for growth in the value of your equities, you want to start mixing in high-quality, high-value stocks that are going to give you 2 or 3% in dividends, maybe even bring in some preferred stocks into the portfolio to lower volatility during this time of very, very high volatility.
Shelly Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, what's the best way to reach you?
BuckmasterShow.com is as good as any, probably better than most. 940-0884 is my cell number and my office number. And just go to ShellyFishman.com. But best way, BuckmasterShow.com. There's so much stuff that you can do there and eventually get around to emailing me.
Thank you very much, Shelly. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right, 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or the station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelly can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shellyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at GoodwillSouthernAZ.org.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes. We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock. 323-8650. 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems. 323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres. Plus, we'll talk about education with blogger David Safir of the Tucson Weekly. Buckmaster each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:34 on this Tuesday afternoon. This portion of our program brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great place to escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is world famous. You've got to check that out. It's a beautiful area. Hike in the Gila National Forest, or do some exploring in downtown historic Silver City with the galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. Great places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins and Casitas de Gila guest houses, just to name a few. The full listing of great places to stay and things to do on their very nice website, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Let's welcome now Carolyn Campbell, the executive director of the Tucson-based Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection. She also, for the past more than a dozen years, has been a member of the Pima County Bond Advisory Committee. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, it's good to see you again. And we have not had a bond election in Pima County since 2004. We had a successful bond election then. We had another one in 1997. So it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I mean, so far, and we're still counting, it's been 15 years. And the unmet needs due to our region's growth have just piled up and piled up. So we think it's, you know, we're ready to wrap up our work and ask the Board of Supervisors to have a bond election this year.
Where are we in this process?
Well, this we've been working on this package since since the 2004 bond election, and we received from the different jurisdictions and community groups over $3 billion worth of needs, and we've been trying to pare that down to about $650 million to present to the Board of Supervisors. We're about $880 million now, so we've got a little more work to do, but we have to wrap it up if we have any hope of the Board of Supervisors calling an election this November.
A lot of people say the top priority is fixing our roads. Would you agree with that?
I think the roads are in many places around here are in pretty bad shape. Typically and traditionally, the roads were paid for with revenue bonds. This is a general obligation bond. We've been kind of stripped by the state of Arizona a lot of our road money. But what we have in this bond will be libraries, parks, soccer, softball, baseball facilities, other community facilities, tourism-related projects, and economic development. Although when you look at a capital project, a bond proposal of this size, it's a big jobs project. It's a lot of jobs for people here when we start building libraries, sheriff stations, et cetera.
Well, of course, open space is dear to your heart. That's what you, I mean, that's your passion. Is open space was a part of the 2004 bond. Will it be a part of this bond package?
Well, I certainly hope so. There is a chunk of money for open space targeted in this bond. It's important. We've heard from people throughout the community. That was the highest getting bond question in 2004, and we've been seeing a lot of support for open space for this election as well. It's been part of every bond for the last few, and it seems to really help get those bonds passed.
Can you tell us some of the projects specifically that you're looking at?
Well, there are new libraries and expansion of libraries throughout the region, and on the east side, northwest side, center of town. Probably the biggest chunk of money that we've seen in unmet needs are the overcrowding of our parks. Our kids playing, all the parks are crowded, so there are new parks, expanded parks, lighting parks at night that currently don't have them. And so getting our kids out to play and getting them to libraries to learn is a big, big chunk. Another couple of issues there, job development programs out by Raytheon, trying to keep our current employers here, job path, trying to train workers so they'll stay in Tucson and Pima County. And historic cultural resources, there's always some need for that, as well as flood control. It's really all over the board. Like I said, we continue to get more and more behind in our capital needs, and we've been hearing people many times emotionally begging for some of these projects.
Carolyn Campbell is with us. Perhaps you have a comment about where we should be going with bonds. 790-2040, 790-2040. So the process now, you're going to meet, I guess, again, right, to try to, as you say, whittle this down to a package of about $650 million.
Yes, and our committee, which is 25 members that are appointed by the Board of Supervisors, the members, as well as the various jurisdictions, and we'll be meeting this Friday morning at the Doubletree Inn at 8 a.m. and hoping to, if not wrap up this project, at least get it closer to getting to the Board of Supervisors.
Could the bond election be in an off year? Does it have to be to coincide with any particular timing? Or could it be next November, or could it even be in May, or does it have to be in November?
Well, because the state legislature has changed the laws, we do have to have elections, bond elections in November. Mm-hmm. But it could be any November. It could be 2015, 2016, 2017, et cetera. And there are elections between the city and the state offices, et cetera. There are elections every November. So it will be coinciding with something, if not a region-wide election.
What were some of the projects that you had to kind of jettison? You said there were $3 billion initially. I mean, some of the needs, I'm sure everyone feels their need is very important. What are some of the ones that you had to say no to?
Well, most of those, as I said before, the bulk of the money is slated for parks projects throughout the region. And so when you look at the line items, that's probably two-thirds of the entire package, and a lot of parks either got cut or we had to prioritize Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3, and some of the Tier 3 projects, quite frankly, we just couldn't afford it.
You said that the emphasis would be on attracting new jobs and protecting the jobs we already have. Specifically, what would that be?
Well, there are a couple of projects dealing with buffering and moving the road for the Raytheon Hughes Access Road. There's the road that will be a bypass from East I-10 down to I-19 through that area, the aerospace. I shouldn't say just Raytheon, but the aerospace industry. There are, again, job path training our workers to keep jobs, stay here in Tucson and work. And again, it's a large capital improvement project bond. Then those are going to be creating at least temporary jobs for many of the people here as we build more facilities.
What do you say to people who say, Carolyn, we have enough open space, don't have to worry about it? What do you say to those people?
I say they are in the minority. From what we've seen at the bond, at our bond meetings, I also have been very involved in that, the open space program, because what open space does for us, frankly, with protecting habitat, is to give us the go-ahead to continue to build capital projects. We have a contract with the federal government that says if you're going to build, you need to mitigate by buying land for open space. And so it's been a very, very successful program, both on the technical level and the support from the public. And every time we have a bond election, it might be, 10% of these needs get met by the open space bond, so we can build X number of facilities.
All right. Carolyn Campbell, thank you very much for being with us. We'll talk to you soon. The next meeting is going to be when?
Friday. This Friday?
This Friday.
Uh-huh, March 13th at the Doubletree Inn.
And you've sat through how many meetings in 13 years?
I don't want to say thousands. I refuse to say thousands, but definitely hundreds.
And these are volunteers, I assume, right? This is not paid.
No, we get bagels sometimes. That's okay.
Carolyn Campbell, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Good to see you. 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show.
You
Hopkin will join us. We'll have our every other Tuesday Arts Report. We're going to focus on the Tucson Festival of Books this time around with Margaret. That's next.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five-Star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five-Star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the every other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. This Thursday, March 12th, see Grammy-winning artist, singer-songwriter Mark Cohn. Then celebrate the light-hearted side of Easter by attending Sisters Easter Catechism on Saturday, March 21st. This performance is part pageant, part parody, and wholly hysterical. For more information and to purchase tickets to see Mark Cohn on March the 12th, and Sister Easter's Catechism on Saturday, March 21st. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan, who has been a long-time contributor to the Tucson Weekly. She is also a well-known author. And Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
What has made this Tucson Festival of Books, which you will be participating in coming up this Saturday and Sunday, talking about your second book on the human cost of immigration politics, 7 years this has become almost like it's been around forever, like a mainstay. Why has this resonated so much in our community, Margaret?
Well, I don't know. You know, I met Brenda Vining, one of the co-directors of it, the other day. She told me that last year 130,000 people came out for it.
Wow.
Which is astonishing. I don't know. It's wonderful for me as an author to go to it and see, you know, over 100,000 people who are out there eager for ideas, eager for good literature, eager to have interesting conversations. I think it's a marvel and a real tribute to Tucson.
Your new book has just been published. It is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. This is your second book about immigration's impact on Arizona. And Margaret, I want to say you are getting some fabulous publicity and some write-ups that the critics really like this book a lot. And the latest one to come in came in from Library Journal, calling the book heartbreaking, thorough and insightful. And the word heartbreaking comes up a couple of times in some of the reviews. Publishers Weekly also called the book, they called it heartbreaking and intimate. Tell us a little bit. First of all, you've got to be overwhelmed with the wonderful publicity.
Yeah, oh no, I'm really thrilled. This was a very difficult book to write, as you can imagine, because it's about people languishing in detention centers and also about people, you know, sent back across the border. I spent a lot of time in Nogales finding brand new deportees who were down there, like, you know, one woman that I write about extensively. She'd been arrested one morning, and within hours she was over the border in Nogales, her two little kids put into foster care. She didn't have a dime on her, only the clothes on her back. You meet a lot of these sort of bewildered and disoriented people down there. And, of course, in the detention centers, people can stay there for a really long time fighting their case. So heartbreaking, absolutely, you know, these stories, particularly of families, is, you know, one of my chief interests. What happens when the parent, mother or father of children, many of them American citizens, gets picked up and separated from the kids? You know, what happens to the children? So these are very difficult stories to write, so I'm really appreciative that critics have found them to be important for others to hear.
Your first book, The Death of Jocelyn, was also acclaimed, but this book was different than the current book because you talk about kind of the journey, the difficult and very dangerous journey that these folks make to come up to El Norte. And this book, as you were just mentioning, looking at the human impact once the people are here. Margaret, a lot of these detention centers are in effect private prisons, and where are they located in Arizona?
Well, the biggest one is in Eloy, Arizona. You know, if you're going up to Phoenix, there's that turn off at Eloy north of Picacho Peak that you probably hardly ever go down. I've never been out there, you know, until I started researching this book. The Eloy Detention Center is about 8 miles from I-10 down this little country lane. I think they're hidden away by design. This is a massive prison, you know, and it's being paid for by the taxpayers. It's the For-Profit Corrections Corporation of America, who is like the leading corporation for doing private prisons in the United States. They also do, you know, regular criminal prisons, and they have, I believe, four other prisons on the site where the Immigration Detention Center is. It's a gigantic installation, you know, being paid by the state to house regular prisoners. And if you've ever been up to Florence, you're more likely maybe to have gone up that road, because Florence is a picturesque, historic little town. But one of the roads east of town, it's just nothing but prisons up there, and there are three detention centers there, I believe, at this point.
Well, regardless of how folks feel about immigration, I think everyone wants those that are detained to be detained in a humane fashion. You actually were, you got a chance to go inside at least one of these detention centers. What is life like inside the walls of these facilities?
Well, you know, I spent the most time in Eloy Detention Center, the largest one and the only one that houses women. You know, there isn't, you know, typically there are not beatings going on, that kind of extreme behavior, but there are people being put into solitary confinement for being uppity. The food is just execrable. A lot of women told me they just lost weight in there. It's just pure slop that they're given. And they're locked up as though they are in a prison. You know, it's really hard to help other people understand the distinction. These people are not criminals. Yes, they are here undocumented, but that is called a status offense. It's not a crime. And as a result, they're not entitled to lawyers. You know, if you're a poor person, if you're an immigrant charged with a crime, you are entitled to a court-appointed attorney. You're not entitled to that for your immigration case. So there are people in there, a lot of them in Eloy, a lot of indigenous Guatemalan women don't even speak Spanish, have no clue about what their legal rights are. It's very difficult for them to get help. Anyway, so they can be there for a very long time, and they're treated like a prison. I mean, they live in these very small cells. They're, you know, they're confined. Their days are regimented. The one saving grace of Eloy that I could see was that they had a very large yard outside, and people can go out there for about an hour a day, which for me, if I were in a place like that, that would help me a lot to get out from behind those walls.
Don't you write about someone who was in there for 8 years, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, well, that was in Marco Galdino, a very kind man, a Brazilian immigrant who ended up in a whole series of different detention centers. The deal was he kept appealing his case. He was gay, and he had been threatened by the police in Brazil, and he was trying to make a case for asylum that he had a credible fear, which is, you know, the standard for being given asylum, credible fear of harm or murder if he returned to his home country. He kept losing in the courts, and he kept appealing. So he was in a variety of different detention centers for 7 years.
Wow. You're going to be doing several appearances at the Tucson Festival of Books. Where are you going to be? What venues are you going to be over there?
Well, Saturday morning I will be in, I think it's Modern Languages. You'd have to look it up on the chart. And that's going to be a really interesting one. I'm going to be paired with this young Salvadoran journalist named Oscar Martinez, a very enterprising young man who wrote a book called The Beast. He rode that migrant train all the way up from El Salvador and wrote about it. And so the program will be bilingual, so that's
okay.
Really exciting. And then Sunday afternoon, it will be more a political discussion, I believe. Celeste Bustamante, a journalism professor, will be moderating that, and I'll also be paired again with Oscar. And those sessions will have a Spanish interpreter, so that will be really interesting to have it English and Spanish.
All right, we're going to have to run. A quick question came in from a caller. I didn't have time to put him on the air. Zach wondered, what's the average length of detentions, Margaret?
I would say the average length is closer to a few months because people lose their cases and they're deported.
Okay.
But those who keep on appealing can be there for years.
The name of the book, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. What's the best way to get a hold of the book?
Well, Antigone Books, my favorite independent bookstore, has plenty.
Margaret, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. On March 13th, the Fox Classic Film Academy Award-winning Midnight Cowboy, starring Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. Then, on Saturday, March 14th, see Paula Poundstone deliver her wry, intelligent, witty stand-up comedy show on the Fox stage. March 22nd, the Fox presents PFX, the Pink Floyd Experience. That's going to be complete with a spectacular light show, full quadraphonic sound, six brilliant musicians. The band covers four complete album sides of four beloved classic Pink Floyd albums. For more information and to buy tickets to see Midnight Cowboy, Paula Poundstone, and PFX, the Pink Floyd Experience, visit FoxTucson.com. Big shout out to our favorite auto mechanic and his team at Perfection Auto Works, Mike Emery. They have a convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. Check them out on their website, PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen producing that show. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, The Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Ed Alexander will be producing those shows. He'll also be back with me at 12:04 with Bill Buckmaster. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.